This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Giacomo Casanova's love life is the stuff of legend. By his own count, he had 122 lovers. But whether he truly loved them all, well, that's another story. There was one who did capture Casanova's heart. Her name was Lucia.
She's 14, he's 17, and both of them, it's the very first time they fall in love, and they have never felt anything like it before, and they can't imagine that they ever will feel like that again, so they pledge each other eternal love.
Dutch novelist Arthur Japen found this brief anecdote about the burning flame of teenage love while reading Casanova's sprawling 18th century memoirs. The affair between Casanova and Lucia ends tragically. In the memoirs, Lucia disappears without warning. Casanova is left behind and left to wonder why his bride-to-be abandoned him.
He's just so hurt, and he makes a decision, which actually turns him into the man we know him as now, never to enter into a long-term relationship, never to be that hurt again. And somewhere he says, from now on, when I see love, I'll pluck it, I'll eat it, and I'll throw it away. And that's what he does.
Casanova writes of rediscovering Lucia years later. He comes across her in an Amsterdam brothel. She's working as a prostitute. Arthur Japen became fascinated by the elusive Lucia, perhaps the only woman Casanova ever loved. Japen's latest novel creates Lucia's life in 18th century Europe. First written in Dutch and now translated into English, the story is called In Lucia's Eyes. The author imagines his Lucia down to the details of what she might have worn.
She wore a veil, which she had to because at a certain point she gets the pox and her face is horribly disformed, disfigured.
Smallpox.
Now, at this point, when she awakes from this disease and finds herself so horribly deformed and Casanova is about to come back, she is torn between these two sides of her. Her intuition wants him to come back as soon as possible, and she would throw herself at his feet if he still would like to have her with that face of hers. At least there would be someone to take care of her. But her reason also speaks up and tells her, well, if he still wants you with that face of yours, it's probably out of pity, and you'd make him unhappy. And she's torn between these two things and then decides to disappear. So her only way to get, once she's in Amsterdam, to get customers is to wear this veil. And she finds also that men find that even more intriguing because they want to know what's under there. So she becomes pretty successful at that.
What was it in her life that resonated in your own life?
I think it must have been this feeling of isolation. And that's something that relates to me personally, to my childhood. I grew up very isolated. And for a long time, growing up in school, had great difficulty trying to belong. But I think it's that little personal thing. And it happens every time when I see somewhere a character in history that interests me so much that I want to start writing about them. Somewhere I think, oh, it's me again. I used to be an actor. And what I do is still just put on a mask and put on a costume and enter a different age, but it's somewhere behind the mask, or behind the veil in this case, there's me.
I understand that the translation was particularly challenging because there is a Dutch word for deformity.
Yes.
That lends a certain weight and surprise to Lucia's character, but I understand there's no English equivalent.
No, we couldn't find. That mainly has to do with the title. I would have wanted it to be in the title.
What was the Dutch title?
Oh, well, you have to. it sounds horrible. It's in Dutch. It's een schitterend gebrek, which is like a beautiful defect, almost. But you have to also understand that it's a very personal story. I mean, all my books are. So what I found out through my life, that there things can happen to you when you're young that make you feel deformed. And at a certain point, you think, well, this has changed me so much, I will never be able to have a normal life, to be with people, to be in society. And then suddenly, if you have the time enough, you live long enough, you find the right people on your path, then suddenly you find that this deformity of your past, this strangeness you had, this solitude or the pain or the grief, suddenly is like a prized possession because that allows you to be different. That's the reason I write now. And Lucia in the book somehow finds that too, that this sad past of hers brings her to a knowledge about love and about life that she would not have had otherwise.
Well, since this is a novel about the woman who had such influence over Casanova's life, it's not surprising that it's really about love, the power of love, and the realization that in search of love, sometimes you already have what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you'd read from a specific passage in the book for us. It begins on page 220.
Ah, yes.
Maybe you could explain
what's
happening here.
You have to understand, when they meet again in 1758 in Amsterdam, when they're older, and he doesn't know it's her, but she sees him. And there's this boy of 17 that she loved so much way back then, turned into this ruthless lover, a man who loves with his mind and not with his heart. And she understands it has to do with her decision of all those years ago. And through the book, she comes to a realization about love. And actually, she understands that she, with this tough life of hers, has learned much more about love than he with all his wonderful adventures. And then somewhere at the end of the book, she says this. Everything comes down to this. The reason for every word I have written and every word I will write. I am recounting my life for you so that you may know this secret without the pain of discovering it. We are unhappy because we think that love is something we require from someone else. Our salvation depends on a simple gesture. That is nonetheless the most difficult act we can perform. We must give away the thing we most long for. Not to receive, but to give. So do we conjure triumph from defeat. This is the lesson of the life forced upon me by my imperfection.
And so what was that lesson?
Well, all my life, also in the text, but it's also something I experienced myself, that you see people running around wanting love, wanting to get it from someone else. And somewhere it's like finding a switch in a dark room. It's very difficult to find. But once you've found the switch and you turn it, it's almost incredible that you've never found it before. There's also, at some point, sitting in a train or a bus, you see someone who has been so drained by life, who is so empty, and you just give them one thought and you sort of say to them in your mind, hey, I'm with you, I'm there for you. And that simple action starts a whole machinery of energy almost. And those people will never know it. I don't even know if it really helps them. But it's the energy within yourself that sort of starts rolling. And that, in a larger way, is what I think is love is all about. You give and you receive tenfold.
You have to lift the veil.
You have to lift the veil. Exactly.
Arthur Japin, thanks so much for coming in to talk to us.
Thank you very much.
Arthur Japin's novel is called In Lucia's Eyes.